to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. This podcast is the sermon for Christmas Eve 2021 by the Reverend Eric Williams. One of the great joys for me of this season, there are many. I've already talked about food and cookies on a prior Sunday. Music is a huge one, and it's so wonderful to hear the choir in such fine form doing such beautiful music for us. One of the other things I absolutely love, when we come to this darkest time of the year, are the light displays. And there's a special place in my heart for the admittedly kind of kitschy, but really cool light display in Rochester. I just love that. There's something that lifts my spirits every time I come at night to downtown Rochester and see those lights. This year, we kind of joined in the fun here at St. Philip's. Thanks to Father John and to the Higginses, we have beautiful lit up stars in our windows. I hope you got to see those when you came to church tonight. There is just something uplifting about light in the midst of darkness. I think that's why we decorate our trees at home, we put lights outside, because we are making a statement about hope in the midst of darkness. Many of the scriptures that tell us about Jesus use the imagery of light and darkness. From Isaiah, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Right? That was the hope, the prophecy, that those who were dwelling in ignorance and sin would have the light of God's truth and love shine upon them. God looked upon this people that walked in darkness. God looked on the sin, the violence, the brokenness of humanity. We are all too familiar with that darkness. We're still reeling from the horrible events in Oxford just up the road. Our hearts still broken as we pray for those families who are grieving deeply at this Christmas time. We know what darkness looks like. We face it in our own ways and in our own lives in so many different ways. We had a quiet and lovely service this week on the winter solstice, our Blue Christmas service, and I was really touched by some of the people that came to that service who were dealing with deep grief in their lives, sadness and loss, trying to put the pieces of their lives back together and inviting the light of God's mercy and love. We see that light throughout the scriptures as a beacon, as a sign, as a symbol of God's unending and unshakable presence and love with us. If you look all the way back to the book of Genesis, you know, in the beginning, when God began to create the heavens and the earth, the very first words that God says in the Bible are, "Let there be light." Let there be light in the midst of darkness. Let there be light. That is what God said and what God has continued to say through all the ages of human history. God sent the light of the prophets throughout the history of the people of Israel. And 2,000 years ago, God sent his light to be born in the person of Jesus in Bethlehem, a light which reflected into the past and the present and the future. One of my favorite Christmas cards this year, I also love Christmas cards, is a picture of the nativity, right? The creche scene. So familiar to us. But in this crash scene, there's no Jesus. You can't see Jesus. What you see are Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. The wise men haven't gotten there yet. If you notice, our wise men usually are on their way. They haven't got there yet either. But you don't see Jesus, but you see the figures, and they're all bending down to see Jesus. And the light in that picture, I think it's by a Renaissance artist, the light is coming not from the star up above, but it's coming from Jesus. And that light is reflected in the faces of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And that light, that warmth, transfigures their faces with love and joy. I love that picture because I think that's how I experience Christmas. Darkness all around at this darkest time of the year, darkness inside as well as outside. And then there is Jesus, whose light reflects in our faces and in our lives. The light of Jesus was given to them, and they didn't just hoard that light. They shared it. The shepherds went off and told others about what they had heard and seen, and all who heard it were amazed. That light began to spread throughout the life and ministry of Jesus. The light was shared with Jesus' disciples as he taught them and awakened and enkindled something in their minds and hearts that led them to follow him. It was revealed on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus' clothing and face were transfigured with light. That light irrepressibly could no longer be hidden. It burst forth from Jesus and gave hope for the disciples as they prepared to walk with Jesus into Jerusalem. And after the awful day of Good Friday, the light of the resurrection burst forth and illuminated the world. That light was received by the apostles on Pentecost. Divided tongues as of fire rested on their heads, and again they were set on fire to share the love of God with the world. I think our call at this Christmas time is very simple. It is to see the light and to share the light. To see the light of Jesus and to share it as best as we are able. We do that in a really beautiful way. I'm sure many people have said their favorite part of Christmas Eve is not the sermon, but later on, when the lights are dimmed and we light our candles and we pass the flame from person to person as we sing Silent Night. Raise your hand if that's your favorite part of the service. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. I want you to hold on to that image in this coming year. Think about what it means to pass the light of Jesus from person to person, to receive that light, to bask in the glow. I'm telling you, sitting up here and watching your faces lit by those candles is a stunning picture. Like that Christmas card, it is the reflected light of Jesus' love. What does it look like in your life to share the light of Jesus in the darkness of the world? What acts of compassion, what small kindnesses, what cards or phone calls or prayers or outreach efforts, what does that look like for you? I think it's different for all of us, but the call is exactly the same. As I was thinking about that, I thought about a couple of quotes that really encapsulate that image for me. One is the poem that was read at the inauguration last year by a young woman named Amanda Gorman. The Hill We Climb was the poem, and there were a couple lines in there that just spoke to my heart. She said, "When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we're brave enough to see it." if only we're brave enough to be it. And one more story from the Eastern Orthodox Church. The stories, many stories are told of holy men, monks who were wise and who inspired people by their wisdom. Well, two of these old monks had a meeting. Abba Lot went to see Abba Joseph, and he said to him, "Father, as far as I can, I say my little office. I fast a little, I pray, I meditate, I live in peace, and as far as I can, I purify my thoughts. What else am I to do? What else," he said, "can I do?" Well, Abba Joseph paused for a moment. Then the old man stood up, stretched his hands toward heaven, and his fingers became like 10 lamps of fire. And he said to him, "If you will, you can become all flame." You can become all flame. You may not feel like it. I know I don't many days. But with the light of Jesus that we have received, the love, the faith, the mercy, the enkindling of our hearts and our minds with the good news of the gospel, we are set on fire. And it is our job to shine and to flame and to share that light with others, to pass on the flame that we have received until the whole world is illuminated by the love of God. May that be our prayer this Christmas Eve. May that be our work in the year to come. Amen.